beautiful, wonderful store on Military and ask if the diamond they got was real?
Absolutely, they did.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moise. Another mass shooting in America in Lewiston, Maine. It's believed at least 20 people are dead after that shooting at multiple locations, including a bar and a bowling alley that was hosting a children's event. Officials have identified a person of interest, Robert Card, who is still on the run.
There are multiple scenes in the city, to include multiple hospitals, multiple follow-ups, a lot of witnesses we're speaking with, and a lot of leads. The general public has been very cooperative and very forthcoming with information.
Commissioner Mike Soschuk. Card has a military background and is a firearms instructor. He has a history of mental illness, including a recent stay at a facility. A family reunification center has been set up at a local middle school. The police department issuing a shelter in place. As the manhunt continues, residents are urged to stay inside with their doors locked. Schools in the area are closed Thursday. President Biden has been briefed on the shooting. This is ABC News. A nearly six-week-long strike at Ford Motor could be coming to an end. ABC's Alex Stone has the latest details.
The United Auto Workers Union and Ford have a tentative agreement that would include a 25% pay increase over the four-year length of the deal, plus cost of living raises. Top-of-scale workers would make $40 an hour by the end of the contract. Lowest-paid workers would get a raise of over 150%. When talks started, Ford was offering 9% pay raises. The deal still has to be approved by Ford's 57,000 union members. If approved, it could pave the way for agreements with workers at the other two automakers who are on strike at GM and Stellantis. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Former NFL player Sergio Brown has been charged with killing his mother. Prosecutors say he was the last person seen with her before her death and was seen burning fabric after, and that he bought a one-way ticket to Cancun, Mexico. Brown's public defender argues there is no direct evidence linking him to the murder. Lionel Moyes, ABC News.
UPS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville campus announced Tuesday they will eliminate over 100 positions on the campus. The school is facing an over $9 million structural deficit. About 60 people are going to be laid off, while officials plan to cut 31 open positions on the campus. The campus joins UW-Oshkosh in laying off workers amid budget cuts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media. News.
The Bucks are back tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the season opener. The Bucks host the Philadelphia 76ers tonight at Fiserv Forum, downtown Milwaukee. Tip-off time at 6:30. Philadelphia will be without James Harden. Although he rejoined the team yesterday, he did not make the trip to Milwaukee. NFL, the Packers injury list getting long. Matt LaFleur.
So Aaron Jones, Josh Myers, Luke Musgrave, Darnell Savage, and Eric Stokes did not practice. Then limited were Jair Alexander, Drake Campbell, Elton Jenkins, Yosh, and Devontae Wyatt.
The Packers host the Vikings on Sunday. College football, the Badgers have their hands full Saturday night when they host Ohio State at Camp Randall, kickoff at 6:30. Why is Ohio State ranked number 3rd in the nation? Luke Fickell.
You see the complete team be able to play together, offense, defense, and special teams, regardless of if they got a first-round draft pick quarterback right now and they're scoring 55 points a game. It's ultimately about winning. You can see it whether it's you watch the offense with the defense or even the special teams.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 50 overnight under cloudy skies with isolated thunderstorms likely. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Isolated rain showers likely tomorrow. High of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air WLAK 1260 AM. Right now 52.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio. Refreshed. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Crute does DC, Wednesday edition, happier, happy hour. Dom, I see you at Madison in the Solidarity Realty Studios. I see Dayton the booth. And you fine folks, you can always be a part, 844-967-2789. And my pal Bill Press joining me here at the Royal Sonesta Capitol Hill in D.C. Dom, I came to D.C. I brought you back a Speaker of the House.
But it's
not a good Speaker.
No, but a Speaker.
But a Speaker.
A Speaker. At least we can get some business done, question mark. Like, what kind of business? I don't know. Anti-LGBTQ. I got to say this. I quoted the new Speaker Johnson from mid-2000s when he was very, very critical about gay marriage. Further, in this CNN article, Johnson, according to Punchbowl News, reportedly made an issue of Tom Emmer's vote. Now, Tom Emmer, of course, he initially beat out Johnson, came under fire from conservatives for voting to codify same-sex marriage in 2022. I mentioned maybe Johnson maybe changed his tune on this. No, he hasn't. He's super anti-gay man. He's Mega Mike.
Now, when Emmer voted for Johnson, Mike Johnson, that is, the whole chamber, well, at least the Republican caucus, got up and cheered a standing O for Emmer for quote-unquote doing the right thing.
I mean, I guess that's pretty much representative of the Republican stance these days, anti-LGBTQ. And given how white Christian nationally he is, I'm not surprised. Now, how that flows from the speakership and how that affects, you know, the business of governing, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know my thoughts on the whole topic, Scurdy.
Well, Dominic, the other big story of the day, at least as far as I was concerned, Donald Trump took the stand today in his own fraud trial, at least on a limited capacity, and apparently he was questioned, why should the judge not impose further sanctions because he continues to break the gag order? My understanding, and he stood before the judge, and he gave testimony. In my understanding, this was before Michael Cohen, the former fixer, was brought into the courtroom, Tom. And Cohen was not able to comment on it. Cohen did a little presser. I did observe some of that as I was scrambling back from the hill. But here's the point. The judge in this trial said Trump was not credible and fined him another $10,000 and said the next time it's going to be worse, whatever worse means, Dom.
According to the Raw story, calling Trump to the stand, the judge asked Trump if he made comments this morning, quoted in the Associated Press, that were considered to be attacking a court clerk. Trump replied that he did, and Engeron ruled it was a violation, according to MSNBC's Lisa Rubin, quote, "As you can see, and everyone can see, first of all, my principal law clerk is very close to me," the judge explained while Trump was on the stand. "You and I can see each other. We're close. And there's a barrier between us. Would that be at best somewhat ambiguous? Don't you always refer to Michael Cohen as Michael Cohen?" the judge continued, responding to a claim earlier made in the day that Trump's lawyer, Chris Kizzy, said the comment had been directed at Cohen. "No," Trump claimed. "Maybe worse," the attorney chimed in. "Maybe a lot worse," another Trump attorney, Alina Haba, quipped. Engeron excused Trump from the stand and said, "As the trier of fact, I find the witness was not credible. He was referring to my law clerk, who was much closer to me. He hit Trump with another $10K. Oh, he's not messing around.
Not credible, Dom.
I hope he takes cash from Trump, because I'm not sure that check would cash.
844-967-2789. Now, I don't know if you heard any of the reporting on the testimony, because this is not a televised trial, this fraud trial, and this does not lead to jail time for Trump, not directly at least, but it is very damning to his reputation as this successful businessman. And I know yesterday I was watching some of the post-Cohen testimony reporting. He was on the stand yesterday and again today, Dom. And my understanding is Cohen has been to some degree undermined by Alina Haba, the attorney for Trump, in that he did admit on the stand he had lied in prior federal proceedings before the judge. So, you know, why are you telling the truth now? Well, part of the testimony Cohen made is that Trump consistently told him and the, CFO Alan Weisselberg, "I'm worth perhaps one day $4.5 million on paper." No, billion, that is. Trump's always bees. "No, I'm worth $6 billion." And then it would be Cohen's job and Weisselberg's job to go reverse engineer the value of the assets to try to achieve the value that the crooked boss wanted him to achieve. But what he is representing very, very clearly, my understanding, Dom, fraud. Fraud in the first degree.
Lots of fraud. Can't say Trump without fraud. Also, the other news, former President Donald Trump's chief of staff in the White House, Mark Meadows, has spoken with special counsel Jack Smith's team at least three times this year, including once before a federal grand jury, which came only after Smith granted Meadows immunity to testify under oath, according to sources being reported at ABC News. Now, I know
a lot of pushback on the ABC News reporting. In fact, Meadows' attorney said, you know, "Believe it if you want to, but I don't find it credible." A lot of pushback on the ABC News reporting, and everyone else reporting this story is putting that little precursor out there. But what I would say, I heard Joyce Vance last night on MSNBC say there are effectively two different types of immunity he may have been granted. He could have been granted a limited immunity, effectively, that his own testimony could not be used against him, but that rules out the Fifth. That precludes him from failing to give testimony before the grand jury. And then there's another kind of immunity, more of a negotiated immunity, if I understood it, Dom. And I'm less clear, and Joyce Vance did not clearly know from the ABC News reporting that's, again, been pushed back on, what sort of immunity specifically was granted to Mark Meadows. But to date, he has not been indicted, not in the D.C. deal, and I'm here in D.C. now, and I don't hear any rumblings from Jack Smith's office that he has been indicted yet. But, of course, he is one of the 18 co-defendants and the Fulton County and the Fawnee Willis Dom.
One of the remaining 14, because four have already pled guilty and are now cooperating with Fawnee Willis.
And I also see there is reporting today Fawnee Willis has offered plea deals to at least six other co-defendants.
Yeah.
Probably Mark Meadows amongst them, but
excellent.
Who knows?
Excellent.
Who knows?
Line them up, knock them down. By the time it's all said and done, it's only going to be Trump and Giuliani at that table.
You think those will be the final two? I mean, Jenna Ellis, I think while we were off the air, while I was traveling yesterday, I think Jenna Ellis took her turn to plead guilty, Dom. And I think her crime was, what, fraudulently filing court documents or filing documents she knew to be wrong. And I assume that's a misdemeanor charge. They continue to seemingly plead to the slap on the wrist in regards to the Trump co-defendants. But, Dom, I think the good times are going to end for those that plead early and for those that plead late. Less so.
According to the AP, Ellis pleaded guilty to one felony count of aiding and abetting false statements and writings. So, yeah, it's still a felony. And she feels really, really bad about it as a lawyer and as a Christian. She feels really bad. She feels bad. But maybe you just can't, you know, ask for forgiveness from the judge and be forgiven. You guys got to go to your church for that, Jenna.
Well, the felonious pleading could preclude her from practicing law, Dom. Could preclude her from doing her chosen profession. And Michael Cohen, I think part of the representation of Alina Haba, A-L-I-N-A, however you say it, Haba, the Trump lawyer in the fraud trial, is Michael Cohen effectively, as a convicted felon, is no longer able to practice his vocation. So his new vocation is really, he's in the Trump trashing business. And he's living, doing media hits and as a contributor on different things.
Yeah.
But without Trump, that effectively he has no vocation any longer because of his prior felonious actions. He's no longer eligible to practice law.
Well, what does that even mean
like
without
most of the
Trump?
Other Trump lawyers.
But what does that even mean without Trump? I mean, Trump is still Trump. Trump's there. Trump's not president, but Trump's still here. And the guy worked for Trump, and he could trash the guy as much as he wants. As long as someone wants to hear it and bring him around, okay. But there is no, I mean, if Trump died today or was whisked off the earth somehow, right? Michael Cohen would still have something to say about Donald Trump. So I'm not clear what that's supposed to mean.
Well, maybe it's a prelude to the fact that every single one of the attorneys, now we got Sidney Powell, now we got Cheese Bro, and now we've got Jenna Ellis, have all pled, right?
Yes.
And if she is somehow disbarred because of her pleading to a felony count, Dom, I can see a very similar defense being put on to what was put on against Michael Cohen. Well, his only vocation, because he's a felon,
that's always going to be the case in a RICO proceeding like this. You know what I mean? Everyone's charged, you know? And then some are going to plead, some are going to flip. Well, then what are you pleading to? What are you flipping to? Oh, yeah, I did it. And then what? Trump's attorneys, when he's the only guy left. Oh, look, they're all lying. Everyone else is lying? And Donald Trump is the victim of this grand conspiracy? No, you were part of the conspiracy, Trump. That's why they came at you with RICO. That's why four of the 18 have flipped. And according to Crudy, another six potentially could flip as well.
Well, that's not Crudy's reporting. I saw that elsewhere. We'll never lie to you. You're listening to the greatest radio
show
ever.
If you can't quote your source, I'm quoting you. Crudy said it.
I'll take that, but I saw it reported elsewhere because I was busting my ass on the Hill trying to bring you a House Speaker race that I never thought would bring us Mike Johnson. And, we brought you Mark Pocan. I'm going to bring you Bill Press soon. But if you got your thoughts, right now would be a great time for a phone call. 844-967-2789. Trudy Does DC. More Devil's Advocates. Happier Happy Hour.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make STARS part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines are open. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Our pal, Bill Press, he's a podcaster, he's a pundit, he's a prognosticator, and most importantly, he's a good friend of the Devil's Advocates. He's going to join Crudy in the hotel in D.C. Crudy on the road. Crudy does D.C. Once again, 844-967-2789.
I am preparing for Bill Press' imminent arrival at this time. Dom, I was also checking out the text line. Andrew from Verona asked, did Mark poke in? I assume he means at least offer you a couple two-tree beers. Yeah. Too bad Van Orden isn't in town. I've heard his office is a go-to spot to get sloshed.
Nice.
There was also a text out here on the WAUK line. Kind of feels like a shotgun speakership.
Right.
This Mike Johnson, you know. It wasn't anybody's first choice or second choice or third choice. But by the fourth time through, Dom, he became the choice. Someone else also said, so his mother got knocked up at 17 in high school. How very Christian. I don't know if that's true or not. Jeff from Shorewood is my source, Dom.
Thank you, Michael.
You can be our source at 844-96-PARTY. Crudy does DC. I got Bill Press flipping me off through the hotel glass right now. Bill is on the scene. He'll be joining us here.
Let's get some phone calls in while we have the time. Wisco Paul, you are up. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Devils. Trump is now the Speaker of the House. This could end in disaster. I can't see anything good happening. I wish I could think of a positive thing, but there is none. So I don't.
Well, I mean, Paul, I would say this. You know, the positive thing, at least my understanding is he's presented, the new speaker has presented perhaps an opportunity to extend the current funding through maybe the end of the year, maybe through April. So at least in that regard, it doesn't seem like they're imminently going to shut it down again. Who knows what happens between, you know, now and then. But, I mean, at least there's someone there to help conduct the business, Paul. I mean, even if it's bad business and it can be rejected by you know, a president, if any sort of actual legislation gets out, but they, at least they can get the resolution to support Israel out, Paul.
A key word there was someone. He's someone. Right. I don't know who he is. Someone. If not, you know, it's just the point, you got to be able to. Actually, this guy, I heard it said, is Jim Jordan in a suit coat. So they could have. What I'm trying to say here is the GOP can do better than this. If you want to become the Trump party, you know, go
well, they
for
are.
It. That's all I can say.
Yeah, Paul. I mean, that's exactly what
are
they are.
Are you sure they can do better than this? Because
he seems very.
Prior example demonstrates they can.
And he is very representative, Paul, of what the megas are. He's Mega Mike, man. I mean, we talked about the anti-LGBTQ, right? The anti-abortion. He's all the things, the Christian nationalism. He is all the things that MAGA wants to be. So in that regard, he absolutely represents what MAGA is. Now, what's gone, you know, the Kinzingers, you know, the Mitt Romney types, they're long gone, man. This is the MAGA party. And I was talking to Todd Alba earlier. It's like, are we actually seeing the Republican Party disintegrate before our eyes? And perhaps we are. But in the meantime, they'll be led by Mega Mike Johnson. Thanks for the call, Wisco, 844-967-2789. Catherine from Madison, you're next. Welcome, Catherine. What do you got for us?
Hey, Catherine.
Hi, guys. Hi. I have a auxiliary thought. It's really not, it's just something I was thinking about. And I've never heard of this guy, Mike Johnson. There's so many people in the news. I just don't, he's flown under my radar. And I'm wondering if how much he's going to stand up to the scrutiny that the person who's second in line for the presidency now, you know, I mean, people are going to be looking at his financial stuff, personal stuff, family stuff. I don't think he's really had that much scrutiny before. I just wonder what's going to happen with that.
Hopefully he holds up better than Clarence Thomas, because I saw today from a Senate committee that Clarence Thomas never repaid a $267,000 RV loan. That must have been a hell of a sweet RV and a hell of a sweet deal if you don't have to pay it back.
If you don't pay it back, it's not really a loan, isn't it? It's just like they're giving you money if you don't pay it back. Hey, I'd rather owe it to you forever than never pay you. Catherine, I think you make a great point. You know, what kind of scrutiny was he under? But I think ultimately, we see the reporting coming out. We know the kinds of things that he has said. Now, whether or not there's any shenanigans, like as Crudy mentioned, refers to Clarence Thomas and his, you know, $250,000 payoff. We don't know that kind of stuff yet, but we know policy wise, based on the committees he was in, based on the reporting of what his comments have been on multitude of issues, we know exactly where he is in that regard. Thanks for the call, Catherine. 844-967-2789. Oh, go ahead, Curdy.
No. I was just nodding along with you for a change. I agree with you, Dominic.
Right. Specifically, seeing this reporting at the Raw story, Clarence Thomas never repaid a millionaire friend's $267,000 loan, which the Supreme Court justice used to buy a 40-foot luxury motor coach. Senate investigators announced on Wednesday. Healthcare magnate Anthony Welters told the Senate Finance Committee he forgave the RV loan after 5 years of receiving payments on the interest, but not the principal. Here's a quote from
Who does that? Ron what bank? I mean, unless the guy is financially destitute, is this Supreme Court justice financially destitute? And would that not constitute a significant gift, Dom?
Yeah.
I mean, that is actually a taxable gift.
Yes.
Gifts of larger than, I believe it's $16,000 per year, perhaps per spouse. So he could forgive, what, $32,000, $34,000 a year tax-free to the giver. But a guy had to go pay taxes for the right to forgive this loan to Clarence Thomas.
We now know that Justice Thomas had up to $267,230 in debt forgiven and never reported it on his ethics forms. Senate Finance Committee Chair Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, said,
I wonder if he put it on his tax forms.
Wyden called on Thomas to specify exactly how much of the debt he paid and whether the loan was reported on tax returns. I have also directed the committee to share our findings with the Judiciary Committee to evaluate the ethics and implications of this disclosure. Damn, man. I mean, what? No, nothing to see here. We don't need any sort of oversight. We don't need anything that all other judges in the federal court system have to abide by. No. We'll self-regulate. But we'll let you know if there's a problem. And apparently getting $250,000 to, you know, hump around the country in an 40-foot RV, that's nothing that you little people need to worry about. It's all good.
You know, I was walking by the Supreme Court, the literal Supreme Court yesterday, Dom, and I walked Mrs. Crudy by, and she was taken aback. There's some strong odor, and I'm not sure if it's flowers or, you know, back guano. I'm not sure exactly, but my take is, you might be allergic to the corruption of Clarence Thomas, and that's what you're smelling right now, baby. Crudy does DC, Devils Advocates, doing it like only we can, and I got a fine guest. He's over right now, the incomparable Bill Press. He's a pundit. He's a podcaster. He's a friend of ours. He joins me next, live at the Royal Sonesta, kind of a swanky place right here on Capitol
Hill. Can't believe they let you in, Crudy.
I'm wearing shorts.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Lionel Moyes. A manhunt continues at this hour for a person of interest in the mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine. Authorities are searching for Robert Card, who is a firearms trainer and has a military background. Sources say he also has a history of mental illness. At least 20 people are believed to be dead and dozens injured. According to the Gun Violence Archive, this is already the worst mass shooting of the year. The shooting across multiple locations, including a bowling alley where Riley Dumont was with her parents and 11-year-old daughter, describing the scary moments.
All I can, like, honestly remember is I just remember people sobbing and crying, and everyone was, people around me were not screaming, but like whimpering.
She says her father, who is a retired officer, corralled their family into a corner. She was laying on top of her daughter, her mother laying on top of her. Schools in the area are closed Thursday because of the shooting. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wegehout. This is Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Here's your updated forecast. Lows around 50 overnight under cloudy skies with isolated thunderstorms likely. East winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Isolated rain showers likely tomorrow. High of 59. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 52.
Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Trudy's doing DC, baby. The rest of the week, I'll be there. You know, I got some big guests lined up.
And you'll have to tune in for those very special guests live from Washington, D.C. this Wednesday and Thursday. Catch the broadcast starting at 4.
Road trip with the Devil's Advocates Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Love your hometown? Don't miss the Devil's Advocates radio show. On the road for the very first Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023.
Trudy's doing DC, baby.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of the Devil's Advocates radio show.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. This is producer Nate. We will be getting back with Dom and Crute over at the Jade Monkey for our happier happy hour here in just a little bit. Don't worry, they won't be gone for too terribly long. In the meantime, I'll be here with you. Just had Maggie Dawn and producer Anya on the show talking about everything, the youth vote. Very happy to have them back here in the studio. Maggie Dawn going to be live from the Jade Monkey once we are done here. And I believe we have Dom and Crute back in the studio. Dom and Crute, can you hear me there?
Yeah, we're at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. We've been joined here at the table by Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair,
and nobody unplug the internet again, or there'll be hell to pay. Ben Wickler, welcome back. Friend of the Devils, very important man you are here. This is perhaps the most important statement. Ben, are we ready?
We'll check back in with the boys over at the Jade Monkey there. We should have them back in just a second here. Of course, Ben Wickler joining them over at the Jade Monkey for the Happier Happy Hour. And I think we might be back. I take that back. We are not back. But in the meantime, Happier Happy Hour here. Ben Wickler, you can join the guys down at the Jade Monkey, or you can join Maggie Dawn there. She'll be down there until 7 o'clock tonight, going live from the Jade Monkey. In the meantime, as we wait for Dom and Kroot to get back here, Jim Jordan, they mentioned him a little bit earlier, did not win the House Speaker vote today. He failed. Did not get it. Could not get enough votes. Like they were saying, Scalise got a couple votes. McCarthy got a couple of votes. Lee Zeldin got a couple of votes. Jim Jordan didn't quite make it, and they've postponed the vote, not voting again today. They're taking it up tomorrow because Jim Jordan couldn't get enough of the Republican votes there. And I think part of the issue with that, obviously, you know, we have GYM Jordan, Jim Jordan. He had all of that stuff happening with all the covering up sexual assault or not knowing about it. Sorry, maybe not quite covering it up, but his involvement with all of the January 6th stuff, he had a call with Donald Trump right after or during all of the January 6th insurrection that was happening at the Capitol there. And that's who they wanted as their speaker. That's who they chose. That's who all of Wisconsin's representatives over there, all the Republicans, I should say, Mark Pocan, of course, did not. He went for Hakeem Jeffries. All of Wisconsin's guys, all the Republicans, put everything they had with Jim Jordan there. They were for Scalise. Most of them were for Scalise for a good while there, but they flipped over and instead decided to put everything behind Jim Jordan because of party. That's what party is about. If party is really, in fact, the January 6th insurrection, overturning the will of the voters, saying, hey, Joe Biden is not really our president. If that's what they say party is, then, I mean, yeah, I guess he really is the party. If that's what they see as party, let's check back in with Dom and Kroot. Let's see if they can get us here over at the Jade Monkey. Nothing quite yet. Still waiting on that there. So let's go back. Let's take a look. Again, they're not taking another vote today because Jim Jordan could not drum up enough support in order to get a vote out and going today. He couldn't get enough Republicans to come together with him and say, let's just get this done. Vote for me. Because they didn't want to vote for him. Why would you want to vote for him? There is all of the Ohio State allegations that went through there, crying on the phone, asking them not to ruin his career by speaking up about the sexual abuse that was happening at the university there, or maybe his role in the January 6th insurrection there. You know, he did not want to certify the votes for Joe Biden. He was working. He had an 18-minute call, I believe it was, 18-minute call with Donald Trump that very day. And that's Jim Jordan. That's who they want as the Speaker of the House. That's who Republicans have said is their guy. Of course, I hold for one, Hakeem Jeffries really should, you know, they should just all put all of their
all their eggs behind there. But here's my counterpoint. George Santos. What if we need a huckster to be the Speaker of the House? Because that's what all their politics are anyways. It's all just lies and things like that. So why not? Why not have a Looney Tunes villain as our Speaker of the House? Why not have a guy who's, what was he doing? He was stealing credit card information from his supporters, from his own supporters. I think that would work really well for the current state of the Republican Party. Why can't we have George Santos as our Speaker? That's all I'm asking. And I think we're getting a little bit. Nope. I was wrong. Dom and Crew. We will get back to Dom and Crew over at the Jade Monkey with, of course, Ben Wickler, chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, during the happy hour here. And again, remember, Maggie Dawn is going to be over at the Jade Monkey here tonight as well. She will be going live from the Jade Monkey until 7 o'clock. But let's go back to Jim Jordan for a second here. Last week, there was the back and forth. Will it be Jim Jordan? Will it be Steve Scalise? And everyone put all of their chips behind Steve Scalise. Mr. David Duke without the baggage himself. And then they rolled it back. He said, no, I can't do this. I'm sorry. Can't do it. So everyone fell in line. I think what's more interesting to me, or more egregious to me, he did get 200 votes in the House today. 200 Republicans looked at Jim Jordan and said, oh yeah, I think that's great. I think that's what we're looking for. It was only a handful of Republicans that ended up saying, nah, I don't think so. Only a small handful. I believe it was 20 Republicans who said, I want someone else. And a lot of those guys are going to go, and they have said they are going to go back and vote for him. Here's from the New York Times. Here are the 20 Republicans who opposed Jordan today. Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio lost a bid to become Speaker on Tuesday after 20 Republicans refused to back him, prolonging a two-week fight that has paralyzed the chamber and underscored the deep Republican divisions in the House. Now, some of these Republicans who voted against Jim Jordan today come from heavily blue districts, districts that Biden won in the last presidential election. A lot of those in New York, a couple in Nebraska, things like that. Also, I have people like McCarthy loyalists, the people who are, you know, they were with McCarthy the whole time. They didn't want all of this that Matt Gaetz really has been going for this whole time. And McCarthy, by the way, McCarthy and Scalise, I believe, both voted for Jim Jordan today. We have Doug LaMalfa of California, John James of Michigan, Andrew Garbarino of New York, Carlos Gimenez of Florida, and Mike Kelly of Pennsylvania. Those are the McCarthy loyalists. Those are the people that were really behind McCarthy. And I think if they take a second vote, which I believe they are looking at doing a second vote here tomorrow, I think that is their current schedule. I have a feeling that those six are going to move over and they are going to vote for Jordan. But that still leaves a good handful of people, good handful of Republicans that don't want to vote for him. There are all of the ones who are in these districts that voted for Biden in the last presidential election. Though if they don't want to go and put all of their marbles behind this guy who helped Donald Trump on January 6th. Because that would look bad for them, because they're going to be up for re-election pretty soon here. So I'm going to say maybe good on those Republicans. Good for me at the very least, because I just like seeing all the chaos. I think watching them in this sort of disarray, it does bring me a little bit of good feeling. Not because the country is going well. It's very much not, you know. I mean, it's all sort of falling apart. But it is nice to see, watch the Republican Party just fall apart like it has. It really, if the last 2 weeks hasn't shown that they are falling apart, what else do you want me to say? How much longer can they actually go without a House Speaker? We have everything that's happening in Israel and Palestine right now, and Gaza Strip. All of that's happening. House cannot do a single thing about it at the moment because they don't have a Speaker. And I believe I hear a Mr. Mike Crute.
How are we doing, Nate? Oh. We've moved outside. The party, the weather too glorious. We've had to move the party outside. We are still here at the Jade Monkey Cocktail Lounge. We're just in the outdoor portion. And I am joined here at the table by Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. Seeing which headphones Ben's got on. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good. It's great to be here in this very beautiful patio area at one of the finest retro funky cocktail lounges in the state of Wisconsin, the Jade Monkey.
Ben, when I last asked you, we were gearing up for a big 2024, this the most important state perhaps in the nation for election 2024. Ben, what's the gear up look like?
So this moment, it's kind of like when the ball's been thrown and you're waiting, you're holding your breath, waiting for it to be caught. We might, before the 2024 election, go from a democracy desert, as international studies have found Wisconsin currently to be, to being actually a democracy, where not only are we the tipping point state in the Electoral College for the presidential race and the Senate majority with Tammy Baldwin's re-election and maybe the House majority with defeating Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile, we'll see who else, but also new state legislative maps, which if the lawsuit succeeds that the group Law Forward has filed and the governor just weighed in with the Attorney General, Josh Call, we could have new elections for every single state senator, for every single state assembly person in newly drawn districts that are drawn to comport with our actual Constitution.
Come on, now you're daring us to dream, Ben Wickler.
I dare to dream. This is the moment. It is a moment that was almost unimaginable just a few years ago, but we could be there. And month by month, we're going to find out. We had yesterday, I think, the arguments were filed in court. November 21st, they'll be argued before our state Supreme Court. And then you know, this December, early next year, the Supreme Court could actually weigh in on the constitutionality of the maps, and everything could change. So we're in the midst right now of finding folks all across Wisconsin to run with Greta Neubauer and Melissa Agard in the State Senate and State Assembly, finding great organizers, we just hired Austin Keeler as our party affairs director to work with all our caucuses and county parties to strengthen up. This is spring training for a season that will change the world. That is the moment that we're in this autumn in the state of Wisconsin.
So no pressure, right, Ben Wickler? we've got the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, Ben Wickler. We're outside the Jade Monkey out here in the grotto, and the people, the party. It's like the cops ran in and the people ran out. We are out here with the people. Come party with us at the Jade Monkey. We'll come back more with Ben Wickler, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. More partying at the Jade Monkey.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
You're listening to a pre-recorded episode of The Devil's Advocates radio show.
To The Devil's Advocates radio show, live from the Jade Monkey in Madison, Ben Wickler, Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair, joining us outside. Ben, thanks for coming down. You give me hope, man. I mean, maybe this is why you've been so successful as a Democratic chair. When you talk about these, what could potentially happen with these maps, you give me hope. Perhaps there could be
and
a
he's
reckoning.
A cynic, Bill. Oh, Ben. My bad.
There is hope. I mean, it's actually real now. It feels often, I think, as a Democrat in Wisconsin, like we are Lucy in the football situation, right? That there's going to be new maps with the U.S. Supreme Court, and then they kick the can down the road. Then we win in 2018. We have a Democratic governor. He vetoes the Republicans' gerrymandered maps. We've got them this time. Then the U.S. Supreme Court kicks those maps away, and then the state Supreme Court chooses the Republicans' maps. But this time, they had one real shot, which was their threat to impeach Janet Protasiewicz. And then the people of Wisconsin rose up. The public outcry was explosive and absolutely unignorable. And you heard from Republican legislators, one after another, that it was a bridge too far. And they didn't back up Robin Voss. He didn't have the votes for once in his life. And he actually just said in an interview, he's like, you know, I never bring something to the floor if I don't have the votes. Well, he didn't bring impeachment to the floor because the public told their representatives and their state senators, absolutely not. And so now we actually have the state Supreme Court majority that can do its job. They're actually reading our Constitution instead of just, you know, reading the latest Diane Hendricks and Uline talking points. And we have a shot at becoming a democracy.
Ben, you know what? We've been reading the legal filings of the Republican leadership, the legislative leadership. In the case of Megan Wolf, the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner administrator. And they've been lying through their teeth, Ben.
They're telling us something
in the media on Sunday and then Monday in the legal filings when it matters. They tell us the truth, man.
They admitted in their legal filing that the vote was, quote, symbolic.
Symbolic?
Unquote.
What does that mean?
They held a vote. Every single one of their gerrymandered supermajority Republican senators voted to, quote, unquote, fire Megan Wolf. And now they admit what we've known all along, the public has known, which is that they have no authority to do that. It was completely out of order. It was total BS. And the reality is they're trying to undermine our election system, but they don't have all the cards. And this is not going to fly in court. This is another one of these assaults where, because the public has organized and mobilized and done its work, the GOP doesn't actually have all the tricks up their sleeve that they're used to having. And they're going to have to deal with something they haven't dealt with in a very long time, which is actual democracy.
What?
I know.
Slow down, sir. And by the way, my hair is symbolic, but let me ask you. They couldn't fire Megan Wolf, so they got rid of one of the Wisconsin Elections Commissioners, one of the Democratic appointees. Sarnacki, today I understand, is being disempaneled from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. To what end, Ben? I mean, other than a little vengeance, a pound of flesh, why?
Well, this is another attempt that they have that will fail for reasons I'll explain. But if they can stop the Wisconsin Elections Commission from having six members and instead only have five, where three are appointed by Republicans, then they could have a majority. The three Republicans could vote, send Megan Wolf to the state Senate. The state Senate could fire Megan Wolf, and boom, one-stop shopping. They have undermined our system of free and fair elections by getting rid of our top elections administrator. There's one problem, though, which is we have a governor that the people of Wisconsin chose named Tony Evers, and he can appoint a replacement for the person that they just fired. So
does that person need senatorial confirmation?
No. Well, eventually they could have another vote. They could vote someone down, and the governor can appoint someone else. It's like Captain America. Right. I can keep doing this all day. That's the way it works here now.
It doesn't make any sense, and it certainly doesn't bode well for governance here. Ben, talk about the national picture. Again, you've been very successful here in your tenure. It's Dane County, Madison continues to turn out. Milwaukee County, I got faith. But this is certainly the core.
I'm taking a little credit for Dane and Madison.
Of the turnout. What do you attribute that to, Ben?
Well, the Civic Media Radio Network
yes, of
is informing voters and cutting through right-wing propaganda. So people all over the state, and I actually mean this in a serious way, the fact that there are broadcasters not taking one side or another, but you know, actually speaking truth all over Wisconsin makes a difference. Having grassroots organization all over Wisconsin. I mean, you say I've been successful. It is the volunteers, the county party activists, the candidates running in gerrymandered legislative districts who've been successful at breaking through a wall of Republican disinformation and legal trickery. And that is how we've gotten to this point. It's not like, you know, Janet Protasiewicz won in a landslide. Most of these elections have not been landslides.
Yeah.
We beat Trump in 2020 by 0.6 percentage point. That is a classic field margin. That is people knocking on doors made that happen. In 2022, no Democrat had won a governor's race with a Democratic president since 1962 in our state. So statistically, we were doomed. But we won by 3.4%. Now, that is triple the governor's margin in 2018. It's a Wisconsin landslide. Nationally, that's called a very close election
right.
when you win by 3.4. Once again, that is people refusing to be beaten into submission and saying, you know, demanding their freedom and their rights, demanding to be led in the state's highest executive office by someone who's actually a person of dignity and decency and respect for everybody, no matter where they live or what they look like. This is a party that represents people in small towns and rural areas and big cities and suburbs alike. And the Republican Party has essentially declared war on more than half the population. And they're trying to take away freedoms from women all over the state of Wisconsin, from LGBTQ people, from black Wisconsinites. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. From young Wisconsinites, they were fantasizing about eliminating campus voting.
Too easy.
This is their great idea. And democracy is the art of addition. It's bringing people together. Their whole thing is to divide, divide, divide. They used to be able to conquer with that. But they're conquering no longer. And that, to me, is where the deeper hope comes from. Wisconsin has been through the ringer. I mean, it has gotten so tough for so many people in so many corners of the state. And the fact that Wisconsinites didn't give up in the face of that and kept fighting, that's what's brought us to this moment. We're on the brink of a potential breakthrough in the fight for democracy in our state.
Ben Wickler, Democratic Party chairman, for just a few more minutes. Ben, let me ask you. Abortive rights have been an issue here. We are under a ban, or at least some legal theories are that we're under an 1849 ban, but Planned Parenthood has begun, at least in two communities, Madison and Milwaukee, they've begun providing services again. Ben, are you worried that this will somehow blunt this issue or take some of the steam out of the issue?
I think everyone in Wisconsin is clear that the GOP, if it has the power to do it, will take away your right, your fundamental freedom to make your own decision about your own body. They've shown that they're willing to do that. When they had control over the courts and control over the legislature, they didn't lift a finger to make it possible for people to access reproductive care. If they win in the Senate and the White House, they will pass a national abortion ban. Mark my words. And that fact alone makes this the central issue in 2024.
1 year to the election, Ben. How can people get involved with the Democratic Party of Wisconsin?
Go to wisdems.org, W-I-S-D-E-M-S.org. You can sign up to volunteer. We'll be knocking on doors all the way through the most intense snowfall that's going to come sometime in November. We need help
Don't
in every corner
that.
Of the state.
Don't even say that. Ben Wickler, thank you so much for joining us here at the Jade Monkey. Thank you to Judge Chris Taylor, Maggie Dawn, Anya. Who else am I forgetting? Joe Parisi.
Yeah.
The outgoing Dane County Executive, our buddy Joe Parisi. Thank you all for partying with the Devil's Advocates. And don't forget, Maggie Dawn, she's up next live from the Jade Monkey. If you aren't here yet, you better hurry up and get here. The party's just getting started. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks so much, guys.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.